This is Points North. I'm Brad Asprey. Later in the hour, we'll be in Studio A with Don Julin. The mandolin player from Traverse City has written a new book, Mandolin for Dummies. That's coming up. But first, there's a public hearing next week on Mackinac Island about historic preservation. The city on the island is 200 years old, but there are no protections for old buildings there, and that has stoked a fierce debate that is drawing near its end. The Mackinac Island City Council has to decide whether to create historic districts that would give city officials the power to stop the demolition of these old buildings. Many in the business community don't want the government to restrict their use of property. They say it's their property and should have the right to do what they want with it. Peter Payette has covered the story and joins me. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Brad.
On the face of it, this seems like a no-brainer, that it's a historic community and there are beautiful old buildings. Who would be against that? Why is this such a contentious issue?
It really brings together some pretty volatile elements. One is profit. I mean, you are talking about properties that are, you know, properties in the city on Mackinac Island will sell for more than $1 million. And some of the buildings on these properties are old and dilapidated. It's my understanding there are properties with foundations made out of lumber. So the foundation, the building is resting on wooden pylons or something rather than a concrete slab. So a property owner that loses the right to tear down that building and put up a new one has substantially, taken a substantial hit in the value of that property and now has to maintain that old building. Renovations can be expensive, et cetera, et cetera. And then the other element is government control. You know, a lot of people bristle at the idea of even the local government having a say in what somebody can do with his or her property. You know this when you were down in Ludington, Brad, reporting. They're talking about a historic district down there. And I think one of the owners of one of those big fancy homes in that district, as you come into Ludington, he put it something to the effect of it's like having to ask your mother if you can do what you want.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's the other element, and those are really the two forces at odds here. And there's sort of a disagreement, I think, about what is the fabric of Mackinac Island. Is it made up of these old buildings that, you know, literally date back to the 1800s? Or is it about keeping a certain style and charm that makes the island what it is for the visitors who come? And so that debate is going on as well. And what is the Mackinac Island experience exactly?
Well, speaking of that, are we just talking about buildings, or are cobblestone streets part of this? Are signage part
of
this entire
issue? It's mainly about buildings. There are the other issue that I don't think the historic districts would address in any way is the infilling of open spaces. One of the hotels proposed for the island right now would fill in a piece of land that does not have a building on it. It's where you exit the Arnold Line ferry, and they're proposing filling in that segment of Main Street so that actually when you leave the Arnold Line ferry, you would walk under an arch over which would be this new hotel, and there would be balconies up there for hotel rooms. So filling in what have traditionally been empty pieces of land in the city is kind of part of it, but I don't think the historic districts would really have anything to say about that.
Earlier, we said that the debate is drawing near its end. What is going to happen next week? Can it all get decided next week?
It could, but I don't think it will. My understanding, there's a public hearing scheduled next week, and I think once that hearing has been held, the city council could vote at any time. The city council has been given a recommendation by a study commission, a 4-to-1 recommendation, to create two historic districts on Mackinac Island in the city where you get off the ferry. Once they've had a public hearing, the city council can accept or reject that recommendation. My guess is that will not happen next week, that they will wait a bit longer before a vote is taken, but I don't really have any way of knowing.
Some people who are for property rights are concerned that they will have to paint their structures a certain color in keeping with certain historic tradition, that they won't be able to put certain kind of roofing on, or they won't be able to put aluminum siding on their buildings. Is that an issue in this too?
To some extent, I think it is. There's more of that already on Mackinac Island than other places. Mackinac Island has a city architect. He's actually an architect who works, I think, in an office in Petoskey. Mm. But if you build something on Mackinac Island, your proposal is reviewed by the architect. His name is Rick Newman, and he works out of Petoskey. It's unclear to me, if push came to shove, how much the city could demand through its architect in terms of changing a facade or changing a color. It's my understanding that these historic districts, in addition to giving the city say when someone wants to demolish an old building, the historic districts could also create a system of architectural review that would have a lot more teeth and be a lot more demanding of people that want to put up new buildings.
Is this a black and white issue? If these historic districts become established, will that really solve the problem?
That's a really good question, because when I was on the island back in December, they were also going over their ordinary planning and zoning, the island's master plan, mm-hmm. Which every community has zoning ordinances and rules for what you can build where and how things need to look. And not all communities have historic districts. That is an extra layer of regulations that is only appropriate in certain places. But in these hearings talking about planning and zoning on the island, they acknowledged that in almost every case where there is a rule and somebody says, I want an exception from that rule, the variance is what that's in the planning language, that's called a variance, is almost always given. That was generally acknowledged in this meeting. Mm-hmm. So if you have a historic district, you have to have a historic district commission. And there is actually already a historic district commission, because a part of the island called the Annex, which is all residential homes, they formed a historic district for that residential area. And so there are these extra layers of protection are now in place in the annex. And so this historic district commission was created to then make sure any historic district rules are followed in the annex. And this commission would then oversee these new historic districts. But your rules are only as strong as the people that enforce them. So if that commission doesn't have the political willpower to enforce the rules in each instance, then the island won't really be very much better off than it is now if the goal is to keep old buildings around and in use.
What if these laws are not passed? Are we going to see bulldozers coming over hills and raising everything and really causing a lot of destruction?
I think there are people on the island who would put it that way. I had a couple people use the term wildfire in describing the pace of development. I was at the Planning Commission meeting in December. There were two hotels proposed at that meeting. Well, one and then another, I guess, was a bed and breakfast, but it was going to require the demolition of a couple of buildings, a couple of older cottage-type buildings, to put in a larger lodge of some sort. So, there are the concern is there. I don't know if there's an objective way to evaluate that, but there does seem to be a lot of development pressure right now in the last few years. And there is another force kind of driving that, and that also may bring it to an end, which is kind of a curious wild card in all this. The island is running out of sewer capacity. So you have a situation where it is perceived, at least, that these developers sense the end of the capacity of the island, because, most of Mackinac Island is state park. And if you don't have land to expand your sewer system, you don't have it, and there's no way to deal with that other than nobody can expand. Basically the capacity of the island is then at an end. Some people perceive that is driving development, that these developers are saying, I've got to get these projects in before we reach the end of capacity. But In December, at a couple of meetings, city officials were using the term moratorium on development because they're concerned that they've come up against that, that they've reached the end, and there's some confusion about what is actually left and how well they're managing that, you know, the sewer system, and whether they're maybe overbuilding right now. It wasn't entirely clear to me, but so ironically, the thing that may restrain development on the island is the lack of sewer capacity.
IPR's news director Peter Payette, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brad.